It's the Adam Ritz Show, a social awareness talk show touching on fellowship, leadership, philanthropy, and more. Adam hosts the show on location from coast to coast, interviewing college students, student athletes, campus administrators, professional athletes, and social experts about social issues ranging from bullying to Twitter and everything in between. And now, it's your social awareness radio host, Adam Ritz.
It's the weekend, Easter weekend 2019. Hope you're having a great weekend with your family and celebrating Easter in style. I don't know if you've had 27 chocolate eggs by now. I certainly have. This is the Adam Ritz Show. I'm Adam Ritz. Happy Easter to you and your family. Jay Baker joining me. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Adam. And yes, this is a great weekend. And for those that have been sort of depriving themselves during the Lenten season, it is time for a little bit of chocolate and perhaps a nice brunch somewhere.
You know, I've been looking forward to my food addiction. I've taken part in Lent and sacrificing, gave up some sweets, some fried food. And this weekend, today, Sunday, my God, the gates of calories will open. They will flow all day, plentiful throughout the day. So we wish you good luck if you're listening.
A number of restaurants are now back in business. They were on the ropes there for a while, and now everything's going to be all right.
If maybe your plan is to have Easter brunch, then go to your sister-in-law's house for Easter lunch.
Sure.
Then head over to grandma's house for Easter dinner.
Sure.
All the while having as many chocolate Easter eggs in between as you can.
I think a number of restaurants will talk about a fourth or fifth meal, so why not today?
Why not? It's an Easter tradition in my family, and we talk about public affairs on this show, and we're going to jump right in with a hello and a tip of the hat to a company called SpeedyQ, SpeedyQ Markets in the Detroit, Michigan area. They are planting trees and reducing emissions with the fuel that you buy at their convenience store chain. So when you choose to fill up at SpeedyQ Markets, they'll plant trees in your honor, and they have actually reduced carbon emissions by 30% because of this lower emissions program they have. And you can learn more on their website, speedyqdrive.com. But this is an interesting statistic that came out just this past March. The reduced emissions program at SpeedyQ Markets has reduced enough gallons of fuel to power over 17,000 homes with electricity.
That's impressive.
For the year. Isn't that cool?
That is very cool. And sometimes you think to yourself, it's just a tree. But these companies have planted thousands of trees, and it does add up.
Conscious capitalism, companies giving back. We like to highlight and congratulate them and pat them on the back for what they do in their communities, because it's a great reminder for us as individuals to treat our own household as a company and have conscious capitalism and get out there and make a difference in the world as well. So hats off to SpeedyQ Markets for their reduced emissions program. Learn more at speedyqdrive.com. Jay Baker, happy Easter.
It is great to be here, and you know what's been great about this show is we've been able to sort of highlight some different aspects of life that you sort of don't think about. And April is Alcohol Awareness Month, and you know, you and I discussed before the show, we don't want to stand, you know, and make this sound judgmental, but it is very important, I think, that we become aware of alcohol's effect, not just on us, but maybe those around us. I know that you've worked with college-age students, and that's a pivotal time in their life where it's like, hey, I could enjoy alcohol socially, but I've got to be super careful not to overuse alcohol. And there's kind of an interesting note. The National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism estimated that 7.2% of American adults age 18 and older are having some problem to a certain degree with alcohol. Now, whether that's moderate alcohol use, and sometimes with moderate alcohol use, you could be at risk to increase your alcohol use as you mm-hmm. age.
17%?
That is approximately 7.2% of American adults, yes. And that involves 17 million people. So you're talking that nearly 10% of Americans are brushing up against the potential for alcohol problems.
You know, and that spectrum is quite large on what is or could be, quote unquote, a problem with alcohol in your life. So, you know, that's not saying 7% of Americans have been involved with a manslaughter DUI and killed somebody driving drunk. It could just be as simple as it affects how you work. Maybe one day a week you have enough of a hangover that for half of one workday a week you're useless at your job.
Absolutely.
Or you miss a day picking up your child at school because you've had a few drinks after work or at lunch and you're not able to drive now. So, you know, a problem doesn't have to be a full-scale felony, end-of-your-life problem. It could just be something minor that rears its ugly head once a week that makes you go, you know, maybe I should slow down a little bit.
Well, that's what the Alcohol Awareness Month is about. As Adam indicated, this is not saying that literally 7.2% of Americans are full-blown alcoholics. It just means, as you said, they have some drinking that may or may not verge on some problem drinking. And we're going to touch just a little bit on how much alcohol is the right amount, because many people can use alcohol in a very safe manner, in a very social manner, and they don't have that problem. But it is intriguing that here in America, with, you know, stress, with pressure, with just even the stress sometimes of appearing more social, you know, oftentimes many social events talk about what kind of alcohol is going to be served, and people look forward to events based on their alcohol intake.
You mentioned earlier that I work with college students, and what I do with college student athletes and college students through the public affairs and public or student affairs office is through working with or in the broadcast media industry for the last 25 years, I've become a media consultant. So I talk to college kids and professional athletes about social media responsibility. And part of social media responsibility is your alcohol awareness, because nearly, here's my unofficial statistic, nearly 100% of social media disastrous posts come after you've been drinking. So that's kind of, I wouldn't say I'm an alcohol awareness speaker. I'm a social media consultant. And I've seen so many young people that do, you know, that's the time in your life when you experiment with alcohol. And I think we talked off mic earlier, anybody who is in their 40s, 50s, 60s with a severe alcoholism problem, it started when they were 18 to 22 years old, maybe.
Absolutely.
On a college campus. So it's definitely the window of when problems can start and fester and grow and launch and explode. But even if you're not at the problem stage yet, if you're 21 and you're responsibly drinking and you have a few cocktails, that's still enough to lower your inhibitions enough that you make a social media post about a friend, about a family member, about a boss, about a job you might want to get that you regret the next day when you get up and look at what you wrote. You delete it, but it's already been screenshot and shared, and now you have to live with the consequences.
As you said, the classic social media behavior that you have to be totally on guard about is you might be a great job candidate, but let's just say, hey, a weekend in Cancun, and it's your friends on the beach with 52 empty beer cans. Well, your prospective employer, hey, let's just do a little check and see what our great client or our great prospect has on Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good.
That's right.
Yeah. 52 empty beers. Congratulations.
And I've always said you're only as good as your last three posts. So if you've been posting about how much you love your grandma and the kids you work with at the local elementary school to help them learn how to read, and that's 90% of your feed is great quality content like that.
Right.
But your last three posts are pictures from spring break with empty beer bottles and empty alcohol bottles around you. That's enough for your possible future employer to just move on to the next person.
Absolutely. And it's something to be highly aware of. As you know, Adam, we really, really like statistics. And this is something that struck me. I heard a podcast a few years ago where the United Kingdom identified that alcohol was indeed perhaps the largest social problem in England. So they attempted to determine how much alcohol is the right amount of alcohol, and then at what amount should you worry about you maybe possibly abusing alcohol. They just recently re-reviewed the alcohol guidelines in 1995, and they reduced the recommended maximum number of, now this is in their parlance, but I'll tell you what this represents, units. So before, you could safely drink 21 units of alcohol per week, and you were considered like, okay, that's fine social drinking. They've actually reduced it now to 14, and you might ask yourself, well, what is a unit? Well, a unit, 14 units are as follows, 14 single measures of spirit. So let's say you make yourself gin and tonic when you come home. So however many shots of gin you drink that week. It would be 7 pints of average strength beer. Now, as you know, many craft beers are much stronger, but you could drink up to 7 pints of beer over the course of a week. And for those of you that like wine, you could have 9 1/3, 4 ounces of wine, of average strength wine. Now, bear in mind that you need to stretch this out over the week. If you sat down and you drank 14 shots of alcohol in one setting, you wouldn't be doing yourself any good at all. So that's known as binge drinking.
And if you're thinking, okay, great, to stay on course, I can have 14 shots on Monday night and then not have anything the rest of the week, and that counts as my allotment, that's not right.
Right.
That's not what we're shooting for here.
But the one thing that I liked about this, I thought about really thinking intellectually about the amount of alcohol that you take in. And I thought that this was interesting that the United Kingdom tried to quantify this. I'm not saying we should do that here in America, but these are not bad guidelines. The guideline that I've heard oftentimes for American society is you probably shouldn't have more than 2 drinks a day, whether that's 2 drinks of beer, 2 drinks of spirit, or 2 glasses of wine. That after that point, you're kind of brushing up against possible alcohol misuse. As you mentioned about if you sat down and had 14 shots one evening, that is known as binge drinking. And they've identified that binge drinking is potentially more dangerous because now this puts you in a situation where you're sober throughout the week and now this impairs your judgment. And that's really when you start to look at some of the alcohol awareness websites, they're trying to introduce to you that the intake of alcohol will lower your inhibitions, and it will oftentimes put you in what they call dangerous situations. Driving while under the intoxication of alcohol, very dangerous. But they also mention you get into verbal confrontations with loved ones mm-hmm. or friends, or you even get into fights. That this is behavior that's directly tied to your alcohol usage.
That would fall under that 7.2% of a negative experience while drinking.
Yeah. And you know yourself, it is unfortunate. And the reason why they call this Alcohol Awareness Month is this heightens your awareness. We know that it's difficult sometimes to urge people to get help. But you know yourself, you probably have encountered socially friends that you don't enjoy their company quite as much because of the amount of alcohol that they take in.
And this is full honesty, I haven't had a drink in over 16 years. So when I hear statistics that you could have 14 gin and tonics in a week, that sounds like a ton.
Sounds like a lot.
That sounds like a lot of alcohol. I know there are casual drinkers that have a cocktail or two every night after work, maybe a beer at dinner and then another cocktail an hour later before bed. That would be 14 drinks a week.
Correct.
I think a lot of people hear these statistics, don't think they're even close to having a problem. Maybe they have 5 drinks a night or through the course of a day. And now you're talking about, 35 drinks a week compared right. to the 14 that is on the normal radar.
Yeah.
And you're maybe that is too much.
It's exactly right. And that's why I thought you might like that the United Kingdom sort of addressed how much drinking is too much drinking. Because as you said, you might drink 4 glasses of wine and go, I feel fine. I'm not in an argument with my family. I don't feel like this is a problem. But, over the course of time, 4 glasses of wine times 7, that equals 28 glasses of wine. And per kind of what we came up with, that may be as much as 30 or 35 units of alcohol.
And I don't know for certain, but I know the European view on alcohol is a lot more liberal than America's. You know, drinking ages. There are, you know, 7-year-old kids have a glass of wine with their parents at dinner in France. So if the United Kingdom's number is 14 per week, ours, the American view, should probably be lower than that, or would be, according to our crime rates, death statistics. I don't know if that figures into our more conservative view of alcoholism. You know, why is it such a big problem? Because, European would say, because your drinking age is 21. So you're 17, you can't have a glass of wine. That means when you do turn 21, you're going to go crazy when you're in college and it's legal and you can go drink as much as you want after being told your whole life you cannot do it.
Absolutely. And as you pointed out, in the United Kingdom, where they still have what they call the pub mentality, the pub is where you go after work or where you go on the weekends or where you have social interactions with those around you. They've had to kind of quantify, hey, part of our culture is alcohol. Now, you and I know that if we flip the look at the statistics, we're saying that about 90% of the people are not having a problem. Mm-hmm. Yet, if you are creeping up on, well, I really am having 4 glasses of wine a night, you may be starting to brush up against a problem. And I think that that's what's kind of good about Alcohol Awareness Month. It allows you to do sort of a self-inventory. And if there was somebody around you that might need a little insight on, hey, you might be drinking a little too much, sometimes you can provide that kind word. I know certainly one of the things that we look at is parents' stewardship of children. You might imagine that children ape their parents' behavior. So if you're coming home and making alcohol a big part of the focal point of your after-work life in front of your kids, you may kind of assess, what are my children learning from this, consciously or unconsciously?
That's a great point. And you bringing up parents sparks this topic in my head from speaking with college kids. There are several case studies of parents who are the cool parents. You remember the cool
right.
parents. You want to be the cool parent and allow your underage child to drink alcohol in your house. With one of the main, I guess, benefits of doing that is the theory that they're going to drink somewhere rather than have them leave your house with car keys and go drink somewhere else. You can at least keep an eye on them and keep them safer under your own roof. That's, I think, justification. That's how a lot of parents justify allowing their kids to drink in their house. But there are so many cases of parents providing the alcohol to an 18, 19, 20-year-old group of people that are home for a Thanksgiving break or a Christmas break or a holiday break. One of those kids drives home, manslaughter, DUI, drives into a pond, drowns in a pond, wrecks the car in a ditch, passes away, and now that parent that provided the alcohol actually goes to prison. And gets involved with a wrongful death lawsuit from the parents of the 19-year-old who used to be your son's friend. Now they're dead, and their parents are suing you for wrongful death.
And
so you really got to think about all the possible consequences from allowing your underage child to drink.
And you think about this, too. It's a little bit like dropping a pebble into a pond. The ripples go outward, and as you pointed out, now it's not just one victim, it's two victims. Families are ruined because later it's going to be, why did you allow this to happen in your house? Or, I can't believe our son is gone, or whatever the problem is. Or, we've lost these friends forever because we invited their children over to our house to drink. Even if nothing happened, they may look at you the rest of their lives and say, well, how could you have allowed this to happen? Mm-hmm. I looked up sensational stories just because it makes a point, and you and I both know you can hear a sensational story, say, well, if it happens to somebody else, it's a statistic. If it happens to me, it's a tragedy. But this is a story that underscores why this is of serious business. This happened in South Carolina, and it happened just ultra recently. but a principal at Sims Middle School in Union, South Carolina, had to search a 13-year-old's backpack and found 9 empty mini bottles of Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey, which has become very popular for younger palates. They've kind of identified this as a whiskey that appeals to younger drinkers.
Younger? I mean, the kid, elementary school?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Here's the story. Here's a 13-year-old.
Now, 13.
Yeah, he's 13 okay, years school. Old. So they search his bag. Now, they did this because he shows up at the school nurse's office. He's obviously visibly intoxicated and sick. He distributed an undetermined number of mini bottles to other students, and they also found 4 unopened bottles that were later recovered from his locker. So the kid had 16 of these little, you know, airline-sized bottles of Fireball whiskey at his elementary school.
Well, I'll give you one guess. Where do you think he got those?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because the student obtained the mini bottles from his grandfather's home without the man's knowledge and then brought them to school.
His grandfather. Okay.
So here's another thing where the grandfather is obviously over the age of 21, but is he being a responsible steward for the alcohol in his home?
Not when his 13-year-old grandson can take it and drink it all.
Absolutely not. Actually, the footnote to this story is we're probably pretty fortunate that the kid showed up at school, because at least the school officials and the school nurse could take charge of this kid, because if he had been out wandering around, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
The boy was arrested, charged with drunkenness and liquor law violations, including possession of liquor at school. He was released to the custody of his mother, reported the local newspaper. I'm going to guess that was a lot of fun to wake up after you napped that one off and chat with your mom, being a 13-year-old at school, not only with your own alcohol, but distributing it to others.
You know, the grandfather could have been charged with some sort of neglect.
Well, it does make you wonder, you know, if there will be more charges in this, and they'll take a look at this. And you know, once again, this is a sensational story, but it is stories like this that we continually see and continually highlight the fact that there is a reason that we have an Alcohol Awareness Month. It's something that many of us can enjoy socially. In fact, we're encouraged to enjoy responsibly. That's reason why that particular line is in much of the liquor advertising. It makes good sense. Hey, if you have a Corona on your deck, you're violating no laws if you're over the age of 21.
Right. Right.
But if you drink 15 of them and get in a motor vehicle, you have a problem.
Yeah.
Now, some of the common symptoms of alcohol abuse: experiencing temporary blackouts or short-term memory loss, signs of irritability and extreme mood swings. Now, that happens here at the station a lot, but that, I don't think that's tied in with alcohol.
Everybody's sober and irritable.
Absolutely.
You're just a jerk.
You're making excuses for drinking, such as to relax, deal with stress, or feel normal. You're choosing drinking over other responsibilities and obligations. You become isolated and distant from friends and family members. You start drinking alone or in secrecy. You start feeling hungover when you're not drinking, and that's a big symptom of potential alcohol abuse. And they also say changing the appearance and group of acquaintances you hang out with. So drinking pattern could actually take you out of your social circle.
You just hit on one that I always heard the story that from a family member that they were a severe alcoholic, and they couldn't shave until they had 6 shots of vodka in the morning. And I heard this story when I was in college. And, you know, during that time in my life, you have alcoholic beverages to enhance your experience. It's fun. It's a party. We're having a good time. And I couldn't wrap my mind around how it doesn't become fun and you have to do it just to be normal, to do a normal activity like shaving. His hands would shake so much if he wasn't drunk that he had to do 6 shots of vodka just to get normal to be able to shave. And that story reminds me of, now this is a little bit of a, I guess, caricature of that scenario, but if you've seen the movie Leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage, there's a scene in that movie where he goes to the bank to write a check to get some money out so he can go buy alcohol. and he can't write a check because he's sober, hungover, having withdrawals, and he's shaking, and he can't write a check. So he leaves the bank for 10 or 15 minutes, finds a bottle somewhere, chugs it, becomes intoxicated enough so that he's now, to him, normal, where you and I, if we drank that much, we would have not been able to walk,
right,
let alone walk back into the bank. But he walks back into the bank, totally normal, his normal, and writes the check and gets the money. And it's, you know, if you're, that's the severe exception to alcohol issues, alcohol problems. That's not 7% of Americans. But if you have a family member that's in that category, that's where you're talking like rehab, interventions, drastic measures. And maybe even if you're listening to the show right now and that's you're getting close to that point and it snuck up on you. Maybe you don't even realize. Maybe you're like, gosh, I'm having trouble shaving. It must be because I'm 50 years old now and my motor skills are decreasing. If you can't shave till you have two or three drinks, start, you know, it's all about awareness, alcohol awareness.
Absolutely. And, you know, you touched on a couple of things. There are people that can drink and still function. As you said, maybe you have a rough day or two during the week at your job, but you're still functioning. And that's known as functional alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And they were concerned because in the problem drinking world, they think that some 20% of people have adapted a pattern where they are functioning. But the concern is that with that intake of alcohol, eventually other health issues will crop in, because you've heard the classic stories. Just about every problem that besets anyone that ages is oftentimes augmented highly by the intake of alcohol. So if you are having trouble with other health issues, alcohol actually makes those issues much more difficult to deal with. So functional alcoholism is a problem. And then, as you said, there are certain things. And in fact, medical community, Adam, we'll kind of finish up the show here, has come up with four CAGE screening questions. And those stand for CAGE. And you'll see here when you see what the questions are. But if you answer yes to two or more of these questions, then they really do urge you to seek some very strong help immediately, or if this is affecting someone in your family.
All right.
First question, have you ever felt you should cut down on your drinking?
And that's an honest question anybody can ask themselves in their own head.
Absolutely. Have people annoyed you by criticizing your drinking? That's one of the questions.
Maybe I'm two for two. If it's 17 years ago.
If you put yourself in that position, because you can remember what your life was like.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever felt bad or guilty about your drinking?
Another very easy, honest question to answer.
Third question, and then the fourth one touches on exactly what you just spoke about. Have you ever had to have a drink first thing in the morning to steady your nerves or get over a hangover? And those are the four key questions. So they really have condensed it down to an answer of yes to two or more of those questions indicates that you've got some serious problems. And I think that that's great that they've reduced it down to four, because it's not like you have to have someone take a 30-page questionnaire.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, no, this is kind of a clear-cut issue. Are you annoyed that people criticize your drinking?
We'll put those four questions on our website for you to check out. And I love the simplicity of it, like you just mentioned. This isn't a 10-minute survey, 30-point question. You don't have to write an essay. Four quick questions for you to ask yourself or a family member. We'll put those on our website, AdamRitzShow.com. Ritz is spelled just like Ritz Crackers, AdamRitzShow.com. Jay Baker, thank you for the Alcohol Awareness Month information. We hope you and your family have a great Easter. Do you have big plans for the whole weekend? Or
we're going to be feasting away, so I'm with you all the way on that one.
Chocolate eggs. This show will end, and I'll have chocolate all over my face within 10 seconds. We want to thank you so much for joining us on The Adam Ritz Show.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live, both in studio and across the country. For information on this broadcast, including how to hear this show on a station in your city, visit AdamRitzShow.com.